Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, exploring how analytics can assist government agencies to meet mission. I'm here with Tom Davenport, Distinguished Professor in Information Technology and Management at Babson College and co-author of Competing on Analytics, The New Science of Winning. Tom, what advice would you have for government leaders to leverage the right amount of analytics?
Well, if you look at the Delta model, Michael, I think the D is not a problem. There's plenty of data in many agencies. There may have to be some remedial work, but there's enough to work on, I suspect. The E is an issue in government because we tend to be pretty fragmented in most agencies. The analytical people aren't talking to each other. You know, in the intelligence community, they're working on that, and having a Directorate of National Intelligence, one of the things they're trying to do is to share more information and be more enterprise-oriented with regard to analytics, but I think still a long way to go. The L word is probably the biggest problem, in that we don't have enough highly analytical leaders in government who are able to really press for this and devote the resources to it and so on. So I'm hoping that somehow they will emerge fairly soon. Targets thing is not that tough. I think for most government agencies, they can figure out, you know, where are the most fruitful targets. I was talking to some of the people in the Social Security Administration, and for them, you know, one of the initial targets for analytics was giving people who are disabled benefits as soon as possible, you know, really speeding that process along. So, you know, that's a natural result for an organization that's really, you know, trying to help its constituents. Finally, the A word for analysts, in a way, it's a problem because there aren't that many in government. Less of a problem because you can fairly easily procure them externally. A number of the Medicaid fraud organizations go outside and work with contractors on that. But I think the key in government, particularly in the intelligence sector, is we call people analysts who aren't very analytical. There have been a couple of studies recently suggesting that, you know, in the CIA and the NSA and so on, the analysts tend to rely more on intuition and experience more than analytics, despite the fact that, you know, we have a vast amount of data that's being analyzed at places like the NSA. I'm not sure that enough of that serious analytical work actually gets used in analyst reports, and even less so in policymaker decision making. So at the start of the funnel, we do really well. At the end of the funnel, where it comes to analysts and decision makers, not so well with our analytical orientation in government.
Tom, what are some next steps in implementing analytics in the government sector?
Well, you know, I think there will be even more appetite for this going forward. You know, if I were primarily focused on government, I think what I would try to do is develop some capability to educate senior policymakers on the value of this kind of approach and what their responsibilities are. I mean, this is not just something that the analysts can do by themselves. Executives need to ask the right questions, need to kind of push back when they don't understand something. That was another problem, by the way, in the financial crisis, is you had executives buying into models that they didn't really understand. And so, you know, when things went south, they didn't know what to do about it. So I think in areas that we know are going to be big over the next several years, like healthcare, identifying what are some of the key analytical approaches that make sense, what are the key analytical targets, what should the government really be enforcing. One of the things that's happening in the health IT space is that you're going to get money for doing an electronic medical record if you're a hospital or physician's office, but part of what they're calling meaningful use of those technologies is thinking about using analytics as well. You know, how do you use the data to make better decisions about healthcare? So that, I think, is definitely going to be shaping some of the thinking in the government space. If I were in intelligence, I'd be focusing on getting the analysts to be more analytical and using some of that vast stream of data. So it differs by target area and, you know, different kinds of agencies and so on. But I think one of the great things about the Obama administration is they seem to care about data, transparency, evidence-based decision-making and so on. You know, whether they will ultimately make better decisions, who knows, but I at least like some of the processes that they are following.
Tom, how can strategic analytics assist companies and private sector organizations to better collaborate?
Well, that's one of my hobby horses, actually. I don't know if you knew that. I haven't written much about it yet, but my view is that we can get data on collaboration if we really want it. Most of the tools, you know, Lotus Notes, certainly, many of the other tools that people have for collaboration, they sort of keep track of who's collaborating with whom. And so I'm starting to noodle around an idea called the science of collaboration that says, if we're really serious about it, just as a lot of private sector businesses are quite serious about looking at who comes to their web page, you know, in terms of customers and so on, how long do they spend there, where do they come from, et cetera, so-called web analytics, we can do all that with collaboration too. And I think if we're serious about collaboration, we'll start to treat it as something we need to measure and something that really there can be a science to.
You outline a framework for improving decision making. Would you elaborate on that framework?
Sure. So it's a 4I framework. It's not like Delta. It's not an acronym. But the first I is really to identify what are your key decisions. I mean, when I go around and talk to organizations, I say, you know, do you know what your top 10 or top 15 or top 20 decisions are? And very few do. And, you know, I think we can't make all of them better. So we should identify which ones, both a strategic perspective and an operational perspective, which ones are really critical to our effective performance. So then for those, you start taking a look at them, and I call that the inventory stage. So how well are they made today on average? How long do they take? Who's involved in them? You know, get a sense of how broken they are, how much opportunity there is for improvement, if you will. And then the third stage is to intervene in them. And maybe the difficult thing these days is there are a lot of possible interventions that most organizations haven't taken advantage of. You know, one being, if we're going to do a lot of that particular decision, we can automate it to some degree. So that's one of the things that the Social Security Administration is doing with regard to disability claims. If it seems like a clear, open and shut case that a person has a disability and we want to get it through the system very quickly, might as well make that decision in an automated or at least a semi-automated fashion so you can get it done. I think IBM has been working with them on that particular project. Another would be just to think about who's involved in the decision and should it be a little bit broader. One of the things the Obama administration is trying to do is to get more, you know, public input into decision making. Another would be thinking about, you know, the mix of emotion and intuition and rationality in it. So there's some decisions like moral decisions that emotion seems to be absolutely essential to. If people lose the emotional part of their brain, they can't make those decisions at all. Whereas other decisions for which there's data available and for which, you know, the stakes are high really probably should not be purely intuition based. So the intervention step is really stepping back and saying, what can we do to make this decision better? And then finally, there's an institutionalization process to say, okay, if we really care about making decisions better, what are the things we can put in place, like a set of decision analysts or coaches, like a process for looking back at how decisions turn out that could really make us get better at this over the long run?
How do you balance and augment decision tools like modeling with human intuition and judgment?
Well, that's a real interest of mine. And I think there are some things that analytics are really good at, but there's some things that humans are really good at. And analytics are not really good at knowing when they don't apply anymore. And computers obviously are doing that work, and they are not going to give you a recommendation, please turn me off. You know, the conditions no longer prevail that I can make a decision well here. So humans are good at that kind of big picture thinking and kind of noticing changes in the environment. And so we should use our brains for that kind of purpose. There's an airline pilot who's a friend of mine who I sometimes go sailing with, and he was one day telling me, we were talking about analytics, and he said, oh yeah, we have plenty of analytics in the airline business these days. We have green screens, we call them, and avionics and fly-by-wire systems and so on. But he said, I still find it useful to look out the window every now and then. And so I think that's really what we have to do. We have to, you know, keep our eye on the computers and the instruments and so on, but also look out the window to say, is there really something happening here that makes these analytical tools not as useful as they might be? Is there a black swan coming up, as Nassim Taleb calls it? You know, I think most swans are white, and so analytics in that sense, normal statistical distributions can be pretty useful, but there's sometimes when a normal distribution doesn't apply, and you need to have your eye out for those all the time.
Tom, what does the future hold for the use of analytics?
Well, we know where there are going to be more and more sources of data. So, every time you walk down the street, you're generating video data increasingly. And, you know, from an intelligence and a crime prevention standpoint, we're not going to be able to analyze all of that with humans, just way too much footage. So there will be analytics of video, I think, to identify where there are crime and intelligence issues that need interventions. Every time something moves throughout an organization, a piece of inventory or a human being, we can do supply chain analytics on it and can kind of optimize the movement. And, again, coming back to collaboration, if we want to really maximize collaboration among people, let's design our workplace so that the people who need to collaborate tend to see each other a lot. All we know now is that if you put them a long way from each other, that doesn't work very effectively. But, you know, how close do they need to be, and how can you kind of engineer the flow of people to get them to collaborate a little bit better? So I think we'll do more of that kind of thing. Certainly we'll have all these radio frequency ID devices around that are generating vast amounts of information about where every piece of inventory or materiel in a defense perspective is, and how we can predict its location much more accurately and just manage all of that data. There'll be more and more communications data to manage for intelligence agencies, more and more health data as we get electronic medical records around the country, and every medical device has, you know, some sensor attached. We'll know whether people are taking their prescriptions or not. Men are particularly bad. They only take about 50% of their prescriptions on average. But if we know that, we can start to send them messages, or maybe someday we'll have little, I don't know, electrical stimuli saying, "I'll shock you if you don't take your pill, pal." Could be somewhat Orwellian if we're not careful there, of course.
Skinner
but
would love that.
Yeah, exactly, a behavior modification device. But there's going to be a vast amount of data, and if we're not going to get overrun by it, we really need to use analytics to digest it, to make sense of it. All of this data at some point was intended to make better decisions in organizations. So analytics aren't the only tool, but they're a very powerful tool for digesting and reducing the amount of data and learning from all of the data that we have in our organization.
Just as growing numbers of private sector firms have begun to make analytics the core of their strategies, government organizations can also put this powerful resource at the center of their efforts to achieve their missions. Analytics uses data, structured and unstructured, to uncover patterns, identify opportunities, seek parallels, formulate predictions, and inform decisions. It has the potential to transform information into insights, taking diverse volumes of data and predicting the most likely outcomes of key decisions or events. These insights can make a real difference and enhance an organization's performance. From doctors managing treatment better to the Social Security Administration adjudicating disability claims more quickly and accurately. Success is all about turning analytics into action. All of this rests on having access to quality data, robust algorithms, sufficient computation power, and strong leadership. It is in this capacity to predict trends, anticipate events, and identify risks that makes analytics a potentially valuable tool for today's government leaders. What possibilities does IBM's Watson Deep QA hold for public sector organizations? We'll explore this and so much more with David Scheppler from IBM Research when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.